This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Movies. We love them. Film festivals. Toronto has them. Dozens and dozens of film festivals. Welcome to the Film Festivals in Toronto podcast, part of a project on Rabble.ca to celebrate the many festivals of film in Canada's biggest city. So turn the lights down. The show is starting.
Hello, this is Matt Adams. I am the host today of the Film Festivals in Toronto podcast, or the FIT show. I'm speaking today with Anne Shin. She's the producer, director, and writer of The Defector. The Defector is a documentary that will be at the Hot Docs Festival, and they will be debuting it on April 27th. The Defector is a film about North Korea. It's a film about escape, about seeking freedom, about smuggling, about the challenges refugees face everywhere, and more. Anne Shin went undercover to follow the perilous journey of defectors out of North Korea, and here is our conversation. So Anne, what was it that brought you to this story? I know your parents fled, is the right word, or left South Korea in the 60s, and then North Korea has been in the news. Was it sort of a story you were trying to get out about North Korea, or did you really want to start, did you start from sort of the notion of flight and defection and freedom? And
When I first heard about North Korean defectors, I didn't realize how many there were out there. And it's true, their stories really reminded me about my own family past, and because of my aunt and uncle during the war had suffered because they were Northern sympathizers. So the torture and the imprisonment they experienced was very similar to the kinds of stories I was hearing from North Korean defectors today. And I just really felt compelled to want to share about their stories. I didn't know this was happening to so many North Koreans today.
What's the kind of numbers? How many people do we think are defecting?
It's hard to get proper estimates. I mean, right now there are estimates of anywhere from 20,000 to 200,000 that are living in hiding in Asia. North Koreans who've defected and who still haven't found safe asylum yet. So in terms of total numbers of defectors, it would be much higher than that, since people have been defecting since the mid-90s, when the famine first really hit North Korea.
And I think a lot of people in Canada probably know very little about North Korea, or what we know is sort of this monolithic image. At least that's my perception. What were you most surprised about what you learned?
I think one of the most surprising things was that there are people who don't know what work is. There are people who've grown up without ever having a paid job, because so many parts of North Korea have no electricity. There's no industry, so factories have remained shut for decades. So that was surprising to me. Just the idea that it's so hard for North Koreans to have any work, let alone food.
And then you're obviously, most of the footage comes from in China and beyond, where people have to flee to China because they can't get through South Korea because the border is so heavily protected, and then onto Laos and Thailand. What kind of risk were you taking being there, filming in China, in a way participating in this, even as an observer? I mean, it seems to me that that was probably, you could have been arrested. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, it was. And it's so funny, because I walked into this knowing that, we're undertaking some risk to film undercover to follow these defectors. But at every turn, we kept on learning about new risks. So as a mom with two kids and stuff, I was like, what have I got myself into? One broker told me you shouldn't really travel in the north close to the border, because the security is tight there. Whereas the other broker that I worked with said, it's okay, we can be there. It's just, you should never travel in a car with the defectors, because if you get caught, then you'll be automatically indicted, or you'll be seen as aiding and abetting these illegal migrants. And other people would tell us, oh, you know, if you avoid the spot check areas, you're fine in a car with them. Very hard to tell what was the risk at any given time, but I mean, there's CCTV cameras everywhere, and yeah, there was always, we were always kind of alert and concerned about getting caught.
And because this film's getting worldwide release at a number of film festivals, so it's not going to be a secret, clearly, that you did it. So does that now mean that you have restrictions on your travel to China?
I hope not. I like China. I like to travel there and to film there again. And so I hope not. Yeah, I will. I've filmed there before with film permits. And so, yeah, I'm hoping that it'll be possible again.
Well, that'd be an interesting story to follow. One thing that struck me in the film was that, which is a story I think of refugees, sort of no matter where they're from, is that they're sort of told two stories. And one is that where they're going is going to be a better situation than where they are, which is often true. And then where they're going is going to be somehow really great, which is often not true. And that comes out in the film a bit for people that really, they do this unbelievable journey and then end up still in a bit of place of struggle.
Yeah, you raise a great point. I mean, they're risking so much, not only their own lives, but the lives of their families, just to escape, to find a normal life. Like, their ambition is, I just want a normal life. And then when they arrive to the new countries, there's a lot of assimilation and difficulty. I mean, they've grown up in a quasi-Stalinist state, so they've grown up with fear and distrust and suspicion as the kind of MO for how to live within a country. And it's hard for them to adjust into a democratic, kind of free society. There's lots of differences. And if they end up in South Korea, they also these days face some discrimination. Sadly, South Koreans have. The mainstream kind of sympathy for North Koreans has dropped over the years in a way that's similar to the process that West Germany went through with East Germans coming in when the wall came down. Some of the kind of more conservative South Koreans will see North Koreans as a draw on their social system. And ever since Kim Jong-un started bombing them, like in 2009, he sent, he shelled the Yeongpyeong Island, and since then, sympathy for North Korea has dropped dramatically.
And then he himself, the new leader Kim Jong-un, he's, as I understand, even more strict than his father was around defectors. Is that correct?
Yes. What few people, I mean, lots of people know that Kim Jong-un is really radical and aggressive when it comes to foreign policies. He's really a cannon, like a whatchamacallit? A loose cannon.
That's the word.
A loose cannon. But few people realize that he's just as aggressive with his internal policies. He's one of his first decrees was to crack down on defectors and their families when he came into office. So he's made it much more difficult for all those North Koreans living inside North Korea.
And then, when you, as I was referring to earlier, like our notion in the West of North Korea is a sort of, Stalinist terrible place, and it seems to be a lot of that is accurate. But on the other hand, it's hard to find images, etc. So you in the film had to sort of either piece things together or used montages. You'd sort of animated montages, which are very stylized. I wanted to know sort of what sort of process you went through to think about how are you going to portray North Korea. I mean, you have the challenge of sort of the cliche versus what's going on, and then your limited access, so I suppose, to footage. So.
Yeah, so we did work with a North Korean fellow who was so angry with the government that he decided to risk things. There are a handful of these men who will take handy cams and lipstick cams and film inside North Korea and smuggle the footage out. And they're North Korean producers who kind of, they're defectors now. They live in South Korea, and they liaise with these men, and they get this footage, and we've worked with these people. But in terms of other other scenarios, like inside a North Korean prison, you just can't get footage like that. And it's true, we had to recreate that through interviews with, having multiple interviews with people who've been imprisoned and tortured. We created scenarios and showed it to them and really approximated what those prisons are like.
And then, yeah, it's very visually sort of striking what you ended up doing in the film. In some ways, it has this sort of the montages or the have a bit of a almost a comic graphic novel kind of look to them, it seemed to me. Was that something you're going for, or?
I think that we wanted to play with the form, and we wanted to do something that really helps place the viewer in the shoes of a North Korean, to really put them in their point of view. And so that's why we chose to present the scenes in certain angles and to present that point of view so that you felt like you were in there. And sometimes that's got a graphic novel feel, other times it has a bit of a video game feel. Yes, those conscious stylistic choices.
Yeah, and even when you interview your people that you're following, there's often this sort of, yes, you're shooting up, and it sometimes looks a little interrogative. It's very clearly a lot of work went into the presentation of the film. It's very beautiful in some ways, which is interesting as well, considering how disturbing the content is.
Thanks. That's so funny because the filming, we were like totally hamstringed. We arrived in China and our broker or our guide had told us he had met these defectors who wanted to share their stories. They'd be happy on camera. We arrived and they looked at us with fear, like they clearly weren't expecting us, and they didn't like the cameras that we had slung around our necks. Last thing they wanted was their picture taken. So it turns out, I mean, as we got to know them, like they did want to share their stories, but they just didn't want their faces revealed. So we had to quickly think on our feet. My DP, Stephen Chung, was really amazing for that. And he thought of angles and different ways to frame the shot so that we could film them and yet not reveal their identity. So that's where all those angles come from. There's limitations, really.
And then, so then, where, what do you hope people take away from the film?
I think there's two things I hope people will take away from the film. That, what we think about right now is all this noise and, escalation of rhetoric from Kim Jong-un and the threat that he's trying to pose to the world. But I'd like for people to kind of think about what's happening to the North Koreans inside the country. We have very little access to know what's really happening with them these days. And secondly, there are upwards of hundreds of thousands of North Koreans living in limbo right now in different parts of Asia, and they really need to be able to get to a country where they can seek refugee status. And that's the second thing I'd hope people would think about.
And then, do you think that there's going to be a point when China will recognize defectors as refugees, which they do not do now?
It's a great question. I mean, China has diplomatic relations with North Korea, and therefore they're bound to, cooperate with North Korea when North Korea says, repatriate our people back to our country, right? But I know that in practice, they have been, lax about it at different times. And certainly individual Chinese officials have been very kind and have turned a blind eye, quite a few. So I've heard many accounts like that.
Well, and then since this is the Film Festivals in Toronto podcast, we know the film's showing all over the world, but it is showing on the 27th in Toronto. Where is that going to be?
Going to be at the Scotiabank Theatre at Richmond and John. That's our opening night at Hot Docs, Saturday, April 27th.
And you'll be there?
Yes, I'll be there as well as one of the main characters of the film, Mr. Ha Tae-sup. He's a North Korean defector who's recently gotten refugee status in Canada. We'll be at all the screenings, in fact, all three screenings.
Great. Thank you, Anne, for talking to me.
Thank you. It was great.
Well, that's our show today for Film Festivals in Toronto. You can get all of our Toronto Festival film coverage at rabble.ca/features/series/fit, FFIT, or just go to the Rabble Podcast Network for this show. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.